means to aspire for things, to live ambitiously, and to see ourselves as great, and to understand and appreciate the fact that we're all created in Tzelem Elokim, and we have a mission and a job to accomplish things in Talmud Torah, in Midos, and Avodas Hashem, and all the different ways that we strive to grow over the course of the summer. One of the ways in which we're going to hopefully learn together tonight is through all sorts of different conversations and panels, debates and discussions with regards to this topic of Godless Adam, of the greatness of human beings, and how great really human beings can be. We have the real Zechus to have Rabbi Sabalowski here joining us, obviously for the summer, but to come to the base medrash that he calls home during the summer, and to have the ability to have a little bit of a conversation with Rabbi Sabalowski about some of the elements of greatness throughout the life of Rabbi Sabalowski, some of the people and some of the experiences that Rabbi Sabalowski has had throughout his years teaching Torah and learning Torah, and hopefully over the course of the next few minutes we can glean a tremendous amount from the conversation. So I'm going to be posing a few questions to Rebbe, and hopefully we'll be able to converse, and if we have time at the end, maybe we will we'll take some questions, and we will go from there. So the first question that I want to discuss is the following question. There are obviously many areas of Talmud Torah that require our attention, that require us to focus on, that really require us to emphasize in our quest to learn, to grow in learning, and to become the best B'nai Torah and Talmidei Chachamim that we possibly could be. So the question that we're going to pose is, as an aspiring high school B'nai Torah and as somebody who aspires to become a Talmid Chacham, so what areas of our learning should we emphasize in our junior and our senior years of high school that will give us the foundation to propel us to continuing to grow in learning throughout our lives?
Okay. Somebody wrote a sefer. It was about an 800-page sefer about the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, and a lot of the sefer was about this question Rabbi Israeli posed: what our emphasis, what our focus should be on learning. Then the very last paragraph of the sefer, he writes, "But Chazal tell us that ein adam lomed ela b'makom shli b'chafetz." That a person learns primarily the part that he likes to learn. So therefore, if a person really has a specific desire to learn in a certain manner, he should do that. So I was wondering, so why do we need the 800-page sefer for then, if that's going to be the only command? So the answer is, that's not the only factor. It is an important factor, but there are other factors that go into it as well. So clearly the years that you find yourselves in, Baruch Hashem, beautiful, wonderful years, are years in a certain sense of preparation. Years to be able to reach heights and reach goals of Limud HaTorah. And as such, I think we have to almost try to get the basics down. And the basics, I think, and the feeling is that I think, maybe others would disagree, I think it's very, very important at this stage of life to cover ground. I think it's very important to literally to start to look towards that notion of finishing Masechtas. Doesn't necessarily mean the yeshiva is learning Baba Basra next year, not everyone's going to finish all of Baba Basra. But the idea that not to limit yourselves just to a little bit here and there. When you get older, plenty of time to limit yourselves in terms of learning. But in terms of the younger years, so try to push yourselves a little bit. Try to learn more. Try to learn more blot, more hekef, to get a little bit of a better understanding of as much as Torah as one can. Again, guided with the tremendous simcha. Sometimes people think that when they learn bikkias, so it's not so enjoyable. So you're right. If you're just reading an art scroll in English, just the chap rhyme with the words mean, it's probably not going to be too exciting. But there's a lot of omek, there's a lot of work, and a lot of amol shel Torah just to understand the Gemara. Just to understand the Gemara, to understand the Rashi, we get the point of understanding Tosafim. So that takes up a lot of work and a lot of stress, a lot of strain. And for Kerat, the more amol shel Torah that you put in, the tremendous simcha. You know, simcha satorah is commensurate with the amount of work that you put in. You can put work in terms of iyun, you can put work in terms of bikiyas, you can put work in terms of chazara, all of the above in order to get you to the point. That Beit Hashem, as you get a little bit older, so those who have a good background in Kedusha, Gittin, Mavkav, Metziah, doesn't necessarily mean they read every single Tosafot. So those have a Shaychus to those Masechtas, they're going to be much, much more successful in learning as the years go on.
Okay, great. Second question that we're going to ask Rebbe is the following. I want to learn Halacha, but I find that Psak is something so challenging to understand as a high school student. So can Rebbe describe the best way to go about learning Halacha what areas to focus on, and some of the svarim to learn, and ultimately to come to a conclusion as to what to do halachically. Obviously, we learn Mishnah Brura, we learn Chai Adam, and we learn Shulchan Aruch, and so many of the Nosei Kelim, the commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch. But what should we do, and how should we practically go about trying to learn halacha and becoming people that are really well versed in the areas of halacha?
This is a very common question that's asked usually by people a little bit older than you. This is something, you know, usually people already in their 20s, they've already read the Masechta already, and they want to know, they pose the question to me, how do we go about really becoming proficient in halacha? So I always say to them that there are really two different ways, depending on what your real goal is. If your goal is to, in a sense, really get a true understanding of the halacha, to be able to potentially paskin, or even if you're not necessarily going to become a rav, but to really have a good havana as to the whole development of the halacha, then there are no shortcuts for that. And that, the only way to learn, you want to learn Hilchos Shabbos properly. So again, I'm not saying that's going to happen at the age of 16, but you want to learn Hilchos Shabbos properly. It means learning the Gemaras and the Sefer Shabbos, learning the Rishonim and those Gemaras, reading the Torah, Beis Yosef, Mishnah Berurah. There's a certain mahalach in terms of halacha, in terms to get to the conclusion that you have to get to. Those who are studying for smicha, so again, if all you want to do is just get a piece of paper, so there are a lot of shortcuts to do it. But if you really want to understand Hilchos Bas Becholim, Hilchos Tarobas, Hilchos Nidan, and whatever other areas of halacha, so then it's with the sources, with the background, with understanding from the Gemara, Rishonim, and onwards to the Sefer Halacha. That's one goal. There's a different kind of a goal, a different kind of an approach entirely, and that's simply, which probably a little bit more in sync with what you're up to at this stage in life, is you want to be able to talk to us, have a little bit of an understanding what to do. Like, you're not necessarily going to, you know, rattle off the machleik 16 different sheetahs about what to do with the food on Shabbos, but you just want to know, is this bishul d'oraisa, is this not, is this mutar asur, am I supposed to do this during davening? So it's kind of more the basic, the rashi prakim. So if that's your goal, which is a wonderful goal, so then the best idea is to find a sefer, and Baruch Hashem, there are so many of them out. I was just talking to somebody just a couple of weeks ago, they were asking me about certain hadracha, what sefer they should learn in Hilchos Shabbos. They wanted to learn Hilchos Shabbos just to kind of get to the conclusions. So I said to them, the sfarim that I'm more familiar with, I said, are outdated already. I said, like, when I was a kid, so Shmir Shabbos Kechos was hot off the press. That was like, you guys probably don't even have heard of it anymore. That's already like passe, that's really like an old sefer. So by the time my kids are and my grandchildren will be learning Hilchos Shabbos, Orchis Chaim will already be on the shelves already, no one will read it anymore. So that's the way it is in terms of Kitzur Svarim. So I think it's important to find what the Kitzur Sefer, it could be in Hebrew or in English, that speaks to you, that you're comfortable with, that you're able to understand, and something that gives you some real practical down-to-earth. You know, the Mishnah Berurah was a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful Sefer. The Chafetz Chaim does not need my approval. On the other hand, to say that one's going to learn Mishnah Berurah and be able to figure out how to run Shabbos in the year 2021 is not really going to work. Because obviously Mishnah Berurah was written back in the late 1800s. The world has changed a little bit since then. And my ear hasn't changed much, but in the rest of the world it has changed significantly. Maybe we have to edit that off the day. But it has changed significantly. And therefore, obviously, if you want to know, you know, some up-to-date modern child, Mishnah Berurah is not the place to go. If you want to know about how to deal with your animals on Shabbos, Mishnah Berurah is a great place. He'll tell you a lot about how to deal with animals. So you have to be careful that if your goal is just simply to get to the tachlis, bottom line, halacha l'maaseh, for the world of today, so you have to try to find those svarim that were written, that are tailor-made for that world.
Okay, looking back, what are some of the experiences in learning Torah that Rebbe had throughout Rebbe's life in high school and then beyond in yeshiva and college? That really shaped the way that the Rebbe began to think and that Rebbe began to learn. What were some of those experiences like? What were some of those experiences? What made some of those experiences so inspiring and meaningful? And what are some of the experiences that we should try to have, certainly as high school boys, that will really shape the way that we think, that we learn, and that we relate to Talmud Torah in general?
Obviously, it is critical that a person finds themselves a Rebbe, a multiple Rebbeim over the course of their lives. A Rebbe is someone who will instill in you, inspire in you, not just they're going to be the one to teach you the few blot or the Taisus or the Tiger Shtickle Torah, but they're going to be they're going to be a picture, they're going to be that image of somebody that you want to strive for, somebody that you want to grow to. And those images, that's what Chazal speak about, like Yosef looked back and he saw the image of his father, of Yaakov. So it's not only true in terms of Shmiras HaMitzvahs, in terms of overcoming Nisyonos, but it's true just in terms of my whole picture, in terms of a person's picture, in terms of learning, to be able to look back and to see, you know, to look back at Rebbeim that he had when he was younger. There are several Rebbeim of mine over the years who made a tremendous, tremendous impact on me. We'll go back in chronological order, back to high school. Elementary school, I don't remember too much from, but in terms of, at least in terms of high school, I know so many of my Talmidim, I've heard a lot about him from me. And a Rebbe's name was Rav Mordechai Marcus, Chassad Levrachi, he was Nifter this past year. So Rav Mordechai Marcus was an Adam Godlan Ma'od. And when I think back and I realize that he was only in his 30s at the time when he was that Rebbe, but like somehow we thought he knew Mamish Kol Tarku, which he really did. It's a tremendous, tremendous Talmid Chacham. And he was probably the first one to almost introduce me to, in a sense, you know, a little bit of a deeper understanding in terms of sugyas. Yes, I had already started to learn a little bit when I was, was younger, maybe the early years of high school. But the idea of probably the first person to explain to us, the first person to explain what a chakir was, and the first person to tell us whether, a higher level, shtibul Torah, was someone who I first learned that from, and it's someone I always think back of, and very, very often, even though I've been out of a Shia for over 40 years, Abba Bichayim, that was definitely something about that first Rebbe that I had. I guess it was good timing that Meshechta Slita walked in, because I was just about to reference of Meshechta in terms of my Rebbeim when I got a little bit older and I came to YU. So my first year, I wasn't in Rebbe Shechta's Shia when I first came. I'll tell you about which year I was in a moment. But I had the tremendous privilege to learn in Rebbe Shechta's Kollel. Now, some of you are probably wondering, wait a second, when did I come to YU exactly? So it was a little bit of a different program. I was 17 at the time, but at that time, YU had a program where, in theory, you didn't have to go to college yet. You could sit and learn all day. So I was in a regular YP Shia in the morning, and then I was in Rebbe Shechta's Kollel in the afternoon. Rabbi Simon, and even Rabbi Baruch Simon was in that same program. Also, a handful of other people who were in that program. And it was that point when I first met Rabbi Shechta. And that, I will never forget, and really tremendous. Like, this is before I was even in Shir. I was supposed to be in Rabbi Shechta's Shir for 4 years. That was my regular years at YU. But it was really, I think that first year, Nicole was learning Baba Basra. We were learning Yesh Nochelin. And Rabbi Shechta used to give two chaburas a week in those days. And we used to be blown away, but just saw, I don't know if any of you were at dinner, but we saw Rabbi Shechta, there was a Rosh Hashiva here, his name is Rabbi Greenwald, Shai Greenwald, some of you may know him from Yishrei. So he was my Chavrus at the time in those years, and he really introduced me to the sense of the world of Rabbi Shechta, and I was just like blown away. Like it was just the tzura, just to hear the klarkeit, to hear the sugyos, to hear that was something that I wanted to strive for, and that was something that I wanted to follow. So it was a combination in terms of the different Rebbeim that I had that was so inspiring to me. The third Rebbe, many of you know, Rav Mordechai Willig Shlita, so Rabbi Willig I already had a relationship with back in my days in Riverdale. I grew up in Riverdale, and I used to daven in his shul, and I was in his shiur my first year in YU. I spent many, many summers together with him, and also with somebody, Adayar Mazet, who I turned to, both in terms of learning, in terms of Tzachaloch, in terms of Eitz in life, even until this very day. So someone who I consider myself to have the source of being a Talmid of. So it's really, in a certain sense, these three Rebbeim, who are my down-to-earth Rebbeim, in the sense of the real Rebbeim, whose Shiurim I was in, whose Shiurim I was Nana from, whose Torah I was Nana from, and I was able to see the Tzura of what Godless, each one in their own way, each one a different manner, and not all Rebbeim obviously going to be the same, but each one brought to the table such a godless, something that gave me something to strive for. So those were my early years, in a sense. That set the stage for as I got a little bit older.
Okay, when obviously Rebbe has hundreds and thousands of Talmidim around the world, and specifically in the Shir that Rebbe teaches in the Yeshiva, so what are some of the character traits or midos that the boys possess in learning that Rebbe sees that are some of the most important character traits that allow people to grow and to internalize the learning that they're doing? And when Rebbe looks at the boys in the Shir, what are some of the things that the boys have that Rebbe looks at and says, wow, those are the qualities and those are the character traits that are required to really be invested in this striving for greatness to become a Talmid Chacham?
One of the greatest chizuk that I get is when I sit back sometimes in Beis Medrash, I look around the Talmidim, whether it's here, whether it's in YU, and I see such a Simchas HaTorah. I see Smechem Advarim Kirisinos in the Sinai. I'll see the Bachurim screaming and yelling over a Tosfos and over a Rambam and chazing over the point in the Shia and Kashas and Teruza and just Mamish, just Simchas HaTorah is something. I remember I had such a hanoah from that beginning of this past year, because as we all know, the end of last year. So even though when we were all kind of locked up in our houses, not that we weren't learning, Baruch Hashem, I had my svarim. Those who know my house, I have a shul in my house, so I had access to all my svarim, so I had a full stock based medrash. I was sitting able to learn, I was able to say my shurim over Zoom, but that simcha of watching the bachurim just on fire in terms of learning, that I was missing. And I remember the first days when I came back to Shiva this year, when obviously things were all a little bit different, but when I first started to see the bachurim still with the masks on, but still screaming and simcha and mamisha, from 6 feet away, from across plexiglass, whatever they were doing, but it was such a simple satorah that I almost felt like out of it, the Shekhiyana wanted it. It was so, so, so exciting. And I love that. I get my chiyus from that, to watch the boys just to enjoy simple satorah. The more you love the Torah, the more you're going to learn the Torah, and the more you learn the Torah, the more you're going to love the Torah. You're going to be not stuck in a bad way, in a good way. It's a constant, just one feeds on the other. The more you learn, the more you love it, the more you love it, the more you learn it. And that's the greatest thing to be able to see the Bachurim. That gives me the greatest chiyus in the world.
So obviously, we're emphasizing, and this summer is the summer in which we're committing and recommitting ourselves to Talmud Torah. But when thinking about some of the other things that we do in life, so from a Hashkafic perspective, what role does striving for greatness play in our school and studies and extracurriculars and other things that we're involved in terms of how we can continue to strive for greatness in every area of life, and from an Avodas Hashem perspective? So what does it mean to strive for greatness in the areas of life that are outside of the base measures?
So I think we kind of snuck in two different topics into one. We spoke about other aspects of pure Avodas Hashem, which are not per se the base medrash. And then we kind of expanded this out to other areas as well. So I'm going to try to break that down a little bit into two different components. Chazal say that Gadol Tam, which is Megillah Dei Maisa, the Talmud Torah is so great that it brings a person to Maisim Tovim, to mitzvahs. So on the very, very literal sense of the word, so what that means is, well, if you're not going to learn, like the Mishnah says, if you're not going to learn, it's going to be hard to observe the mitzvahs properly. So yes, it's true. Gadol Tam, which is Megillah Dei Maisa. That the more you learn Masechet Shabbos, so the better Shomer Shabbos you're going to become. The more you learn Masechet Menachah, so the better chance you're going to have to fulfill the mitzvah filling properly. So that's true in a very, very literal sense. But I think there's a lot more to it than that as well. Gadol Tam, which really nice, it means that when a person spends a lot of time on something, so it becomes part of him. I always said, like, this past year in Yeshiva, when we learned Masechet Pesachim, this year, when the Shor Shishis rolled around, and Chatzos Hayom rolled around, I was jumping for joy. This is Tashbisu. We've been spending the whole year trying to figure out what happens at Chatzos. This is Tashbisu. This is it. The problem is I had no one to talk to get all, I had my kids to talk to, but somehow not everyone's learning Pesachim this year. So when you learn Masechet Shabbos, I remember in the year that Yeshiva learned Shabbos a couple of years ago, it was a different Shmirah Shabbos, not only because now we knew Boirer and Toichin Ben, that's also true, but when you live something and you breathe it, and you Yom Laila, you learn through Sugyas, it's going to impact on your Ruchnius in terms of Shmirah Samitzvahs. So this Shtikul Torah works nicely for certain Masechtes. I remember when we were learning Bava Kama, so I said this over to the Bachim also, that next time you back out into someone's car and you smash someone's car, you should get really excited. This is Adam Amazik, this is really it, this is exciting. So that's not supposed to happen. So, but different sects it works a little bit better for. But the more that a person spends time in Limud HaTorah, it is going to impact on his entire mahus, his entire being, not just that sugya that he's learning. I remember a famous marshal that was given by... I should have mentioned before, one of my other rabbeim, not really in the sense of a rebbe, I'm being in the shiur, but someone who had a tremendous influence on me, was Reb Chaim Yaakov Goldbach, Zechtzat Livracha, the previous Rosh Hashiva of Kerem Yavne. Those of you who know Reb Meir Goldbach, his uncle. So I had this chus to learn in Kerem Yavne for about 2.5 years or so. So I became very close to the Rosh Hashiva. So I remember one phenomenal voice, and many, many phenomenal words. And he had a very, very unique way of speaking and presenting, and he was a very, very real personality. But I remember he once said that he had a kasha. His kasha was, said, I don't understand. A person has, takes a sugi, opens up a gemara, and he's learning Shor Shenochas Hapara. He's learning a complicated sugya. I think that was the example he gave. In the middle of Bava Kama, And you're going to tell me that that's going to make him a better person? That's going to improve his davening? That's going to make him have better midos? That's going to make him more bachas? How does it work? It doesn't make any sense. Guy's learning Steinhoff's and Metallus. How is that going to be mashpia on his entire Baruch Hashem? I don't understand it. So he said, Moshe Moda Vadoma. He said, you go to the doctor, and the doctor says you have an infection on your foot. So the doctor says, take an antibiotic. Gives you, prescribes you a week of antibiotic, and take a pill. So the patient says, I don't understand, doctor, I don't understand. My foot hurts over here. I'm going to take the pill over here. How is the pill over here going to get down to there? So it's a foolish question. If you know a little bit about it, about medicine, it works. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made us, nice. You take a pill over here, it goes down here, it goes into the bloodstream, and boop, it destroys the bacteria, and showing your foot feels better in a couple of days. How does it work? Kasha l'maisa, but it works. So he said, the same is true in Ruchnius, that Chazal say that Torah is a samachayim. It's a medicine of life. So anytime you take Torah, no matter what you're learning bracha, Shabbos, Mavakam, Gittin, but whatever you're learning, it's going to impact you. It's going to make you, bring you closer to Kodesh Baruch Hu. It doesn't make any sense. You're right. It doesn't make any sense, but it works. You know, when sometimes Bachar asked me that, how do I know that this works? How do I know that learning is going to really make me into a better Ovid Hashem? So I said, listen, I can't explain it to you, but we have about 3,500 years of experience that's been working. So if a medicine works for 3,500 years, even if you don't understand all the biology, you got a very good track record. Talmud Torah is an excellent track record. I said, the more a person learns, the better Ovid Hashem they're going to become. So we want to strive for excellence in all of Ovidus Hashem. We're not just a person who's just a low-made Vienna Makayim. It's not a good thing. Person who just learns and is not excellent in Shmiras HaMitzvahs, that's not something that we strive for. But we want Limud HaTorah to be the catalyst, to be the engine that's going to drive one's entire Avodas Hashem. In terms of other themes of a sense of excellence and things of that nature, so I think you have to be a little bit careful. And you have to, you know, we're not necessarily striving for that image. I mean, maybe for some of us that is the image, and maybe that is the goal. But most of us are going to be involved in, to some degree, in other things besides the world of the Beis Medrash. So yes, we want to do things right, and yes, we don't want to do things, you know, in a lazy manner. We don't want to do things in a shabby manner, and you know, just, you know, kind of get by almost in terms of everything else. But one has to be very, very careful, because when, you know, there's a certain culture that we live in that you have to like excel at everything. Everything great, you have to be involved in every single thing. But you find that even at the early ages, when you find the kid, every single night he's going to another activity. The kid's 3 years old. He's already in karate. He's already on 3 basketball teams, on 4 hockey teams, and he's already, he's taking music lessons. Everything. He's got to do everything. So you have to sometimes take a step back and say, Torah bat ha'el leho, that you have to choose in life. You can't do everything, you know, to can't give 100% of all your koichos to everything, because you'll end up doing nothing. And a lot of bachurim have this issue when they come to yeshiva. They come to YU. So there are a lot of things going on, a lot of other things. You know, there's a college going on, there are other activities going on, a lot of other things going on. And sometimes people, you know, want to kind of take the best of everything. So I very often explain to the Talmidim that it's not practical. Because Baruch only made 24 hours in a day, and you only have a certain amount of koichos. And if you're going to excel in every single thing, so then the things that are the most important to excel in are going to suffer. So a person has to make cheshbonos. I'm not saying that there aren't time for extracurricular activities. I'm not saying there aren't times for other things and play ball. Those are all important to becoming a normal, healthy, you know, healthy physically, healthy emotionally individual. But one has to be careful not to take that attitude that I have to be the best basketball player and the best hockey player and the best, you know, X, Y, and Z. Because by doing all of that, it's going to detract from what we really want to put most of our focus into in terms of Torah and mitzvahs.
So obviously there's a relationship between Talmud Torah and Tefillah. And we daven all the time, and we do our best to daven to have success in learning and success in Talmud Torah. But certainly to appreciate and understand and to really be inspired by the world of Tefillah. So certainly from the perspective and from the mindset of a high school boy, so what are some of the tricks and what are some of the tips that we can use to become people that see ourselves as great daveners and to strive to become people that connect with davening, that feel davening, that have an emotional relationship with the world of tefillah, that we can become people that can say, va'ani tefillah, that the tefillah becomes part and parcel of who we are as people.
If I had all the secrets to being a great davener, I would have put them into place many, many years ago. Tefillah is a big challenge. Tefillah is no... Chazal speak about it. Chazal speak about it. There's a reason why it's called Avodah Shebalev. Avodah means it's hard work. It is something that is challenging. It's something that, we all strive to be better at. I think that there may be almost not so much of a tip for how to do it, but almost a way of maybe helping ourselves not reach the point of yush, feeling, you know, despair and feeling so distressed over something that's our difficulty in terms of not being properly. So I always remind myself about the mashal of the Chofetz Chaim. Chofetz Chaim told the famous mashal about a certain town that they lost time. They forgot what time it was. And all the clocks and everything. Nobody had the right to time. So in the olden days, you guys don't know what I'm talking about. When I was a little boy, you had to actually wind up your watch. If you didn't wind up your watch, the watch would stop. And then you wouldn't know what time it was. So once everyone in town forgot what time it was, so then everyone stopped winding up the watches, everyone stopped winding up the clocks. And years passed, and nobody ever wound up the watch, nobody ever wound up the clock. There was one Meshuggah, well, they thought it was Meshuggah in town, who still wound up his clock every single day. So they asked him, "What are you winding up? It's the wrong time." He said, "I know it's the wrong time, but eventually we're going to find out what time it is." So what happened? Years later, somebody finally comes to town and tells all the people in the town what the right time was. Everyone was so excited, they went to go wind up the clocks and wind up the watches again. What happened? All the springs and all the mechanisms inside the watch, it all rotted, it all rusted, because it wasn't constantly being renewed, it wasn't being wound up. And then, even when they found out what the right time was, it was useless. Who was the only person who had a functioning watch? The Meshuggah for 20 years was winding up his watch for no purpose. So Chofetz Chaim said the same mashal, said when it comes to davening. He said, very often we feel like our davening is by rote, and we're not sure what we're saying, we don't understand what we're saying, and we're rushing through it, and we just kind of wind through and go through the motions, and nothing's really happening. So the Chofetz Chaim, we all reach times in our lives when we're going to get it right, when there's really going to be a tefillah, there's really going to be a moment when we connect with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Many of you may have had it just last night in Maris Machpelah. Many of you may have had it last week at the Kotel. Many of you may get it on Rosh Hashanah. Maybe some of you may get it Yom Kippur, some may get it even Tisha B'Av. You never know when's going to be that moment. If your clock is wound up and you have that mechanism to speak to Kodesh Baruch Hu, you'll be shocked, because when the right time comes, you will be able to pour out your heart. You will become that tefillah. I can't promise you become that tefillah 3 times a day, every day for the rest of your life. That's halavai. I can tell you how to do that. If I had the trick again, I would have used it. But to keep up that relationship with Kodesh Baruch Hu, keep that siddur open, keep those pages, you know, keep them fresh, keep them moving, keep that siddur functioning. Don't let it become rusty. You don't want to be that person who you sometimes tragically hear a person says, "I wish I could pray, but I just don't know how." You do know how. You take out that tehillim and you take out the David Shmoneh Esrei, and those same words, you know, I imagine that probably almost everybody in this room last night, you must have said the words, how many hundreds and thousands of times in your lives? But you said it differently last night. When you said Magen Avraham, you meant something different. When you were standing by the Kotel 2 weeks ago, when we were davening together, and you said Yerushalayim Ircha, it was different. Guess what? If you wouldn't have davened every single day in the last 10 years, you wouldn't have those kochos. You wouldn't even know what Bnei Yerushalayim meant. You wouldn't even know what Magen Avraham meant. So yes, there are going to be days where the davening is going to kind of roll right by you. Don't be misyayish. Try to work a little bit. Don't just have your tefillah only for those grandiose special occasions. Tefillah is a daily avodah, but still, don't lose sight of the fact that it is critical to have that routine, to have that rote, to have that relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, to be able to plug into that relationship if and when we're able to do so.
Okay, we'll ask Rabbi Soloski one or two more questions, and we're going to transition a little bit into the world of midos, and some of the ways in which we can develop our character traits and develop ourselves as wholesome people. And the question that we're going to pose is the following question. So obviously we try to work on ourselves and we try to become better people. And certainly as we progress and transition through life, so at each stage of life there are different challenges and different impediments to our growth in the world of midos. So does Rebbe have any recommendations as to how to reflect perhaps on some of the things that we've gone through in life and some of the places that we're going in terms of how to work on our midos and how to become wholesome people, how to become people that will be looked at and referred? Wow, that's a great guy. So what makes up being a great guy? What does it mean to be a great guy? And how does a person go about making sure that they're constantly working on their midos to become the best at Be'adon L'chaviru that they possibly could?
in the Torah Shemachsav, so a significant portion is dedicated towards the world of Halacha. Even within the first Rashi Chumash, when Rashi poses the question, Achodesh Nezalochem Rosh Chodeshim, should have started off the Torah, is almost that assumption that the Torah primarily is the Sefer Halacha. Nevertheless, even within the world of the Torah Shemachsav, there is so much that is not the absolute world of Halacha. Almost all of Sefer Bereishis is dedicated towards teaching us that chelek of midos, that chelek of machshava, that chelek of not the absolute literal dikdukim shalacha. Even interspersed within part of the other svarim of Chumash, we come to the beginning of Sefer Devarim. So Moshe Rabbeinu is getting ready to chazar all of Torah. He's about to make a grandiose chazara and kol Torah kula. He doesn't even get started into Parshas Re'eh. That's where the world of halacha really starts. Most of Parshas Devarim is a recap of history. Why Moshe Rabbeinu is not just I'm giving us a history lesson, because we can learn Musar from that history and learn from the mistakes that we make, and we can learn to correct them and try to go further. Parshas Veschanan and Parshas Eikev, most of it is worlds of Musar and worlds of trying to tikkun amidos, trying to correct ourselves and work in ourselves. So you see that even HaKadosh Baruch Hu could put so much emphasis on the importance of a person working on themselves. So yes, there are different ways and there are different mahalchim. And then now is not the time to talk about, you know, the world of Musa versus not the world of Musa, and how much Musa, and what Musa is farming. Should we be learning Musa formally? Again, there are a lot of, you know, different angles and different opinions, about this topic. But everybody agrees that Chazal speak about the significance of being a good person, being having mitzvos tovos, being a bal chesed, being someone who cares, being someone who's modest, being someone who has, as the pasuk says in Navi, those are things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants of us. So there are different ways of reaching those goals. Everybody agrees to what the end goal is. We want to become people who are humble. We want to become people who are kind, people who are good, people who are patient. Of course, we all want to reach those midas. How do you get there? So there'll be some who tell you there's a formal Musa curriculum, but there'll be others who tell you that if you just pay more attention to the Mamar Chazal that speak about these things, and you contemplate, and you pay more attention to Pesuch Mechumash. So if the Torah tells you a whole story in Parshas Vayesh, Miketz, Vayigash, a whole story about Yosef and his brothers, so there's a point to that. Not just to know the history of our people, to teach us, but on the Chaveiro, to teach us what sometimes happens when things get out of hand, when sometimes people disagree. So you have to be very, very careful. The Torah tells us stories and Sefer Bereishis about Midas HaChesed of Avraham Avinu. Not just to tell us, well, about Avraham, but to tell us what we should emulate, what we should try to strive for. So everybody agrees that that's a major, major component of becoming a true Eved Hashem, is as much as the person can work on his Midas as possible.
Okay, we'll just conclude with the following question. There's a, some would say, a humorous question that people ask all the time. In terms of, if Rebbe could take one sefer that stands out in Rebbe's mind, so what would that sefer be? So maybe we'll just expand it to, if there were three svarim that Rebbe could choose, Masechtas or Musar svarim or Halacha svarim, what would Rebbe take as the three svarim that Rebbe would say had the most impact on Rebbe's life?
One.
Two.
You got me scared because he said three svarim. The shlosha svarim was tochim. He said for chayim to from mesim. And I got a little bit nervous about the three svarim. I don't know whether this is an honest answer or not, but if I don't mean dishonest. I mean whether this is a realistic answer to what Rabbi Israeli wanted. But I guess I'll rephrase it. If I was stuck on a desert island and all I had with me were the following, so what would I take with me? So I would definitely need a chumash. Would be Rabbi Sedra. You want to be as young, so no question about it. You have to have a chumash with you. If I could ask the Kiddush Baruch Hu, give me an entire shas. So hopefully a little bigger print on the other campus that we're on. So the shas is a little bit smaller. So you have to get used to reading the small print. But a Jew needs a gemara. He has to have a shas. So if a Kadosh Baruch Hu would give me one mesechta, okay, I'll take whatever mesechta it is. But I'd ask for a little bit more. I'd ask for a shas. So I have a chumash, I have all of Tarshim Chassam, I have all of Tarshim Apeh. So now a chumash of Tanakh, okay? I have all of Tarshim Apeh. So now the question is, what's the third sefer? Got any good ideas? I don't know. Maybe I would ask for those notebooks that say you write your own Chiddush Torah. And ask for a pen of paper so I could write down something, so I could remember what I learned on the desert island. If my phone didn't work, I could probably learn a little bit more than I do now.
Okay. Thank you very much, Rabbi Soloski. Thank you very much for listening. We're going to be going to our second session of Hillel Yud with the Shefter momentarily. And we really appreciate Rabbi's time. Everybody should have a great night.